And would you stand as we sing, please? As much as possible, would you kneel as I open us in prayer? Our dear Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this day and the opportunity and privilege that it has been ours to assemble here before Thee, Father. Thankful for this day, the blessings of life, Father. And we do ask and pray that You would look down upon us in mercy and forgiveness, praying, Father, that You would always guide and direct us in our lives. We do pray, Father, at this time that You might pour Your Spirit out upon our brother as he would stand before us, praying that You would deliver unto him that message that You know that we stand in need of, praying that You would give him clarity of mind and thought and word to be able to present it. Praying, Father, that You would help us each, that we would open our hearts and minds to receive that message. Father, we do pray that You would continue with us in our many needs, praying that You would strengthen us to overcome our weaknesses. Pray, Father, that You would be with our sister as she would come forward to be administered to, praying that You would pour out whatever blessing she stands in need of, Father, and whatever her needs might be. Praying, Father, that You would hear our prayers on her behalf and that they would be mightily answered. And so, Father, at this time, we do place ourselves in Thy care and asking Thy direction in our lives. And for these things we do give thanks for and ask and pray for. In the name of Your most holy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us continue this evening to lift our voices and songs of praise with the use of hymn number 219, Awake My Soul, 219. And would you again rise as we sing?
Thank you.
Well, it's my privilege this evening to present before you a loved brother in the gospel, and I would ask that you would carefully consider and give your prayerful attention this evening as our brother would present the message that he's been given to deliver. So I give to you at this time our brother and our assistant pastor, Elder Gordon McCann.
Thank you, Brother Glenn. Good evening. I do have a message that I'd like to present to you this night. And for my text, I would like to go to the end of the Book of Mormon, found on page 777. These two verses of Scripture are ones that typify the type of writing that we find in the Book of Mormon. As you have been able to see our brother Brian in Sunday school, where in just a few short verses of Scripture, they can cover a lot of territory. And this is what we find here in the Book of Moroni, in the 10th chapter, verses 29 and 30. And in them are the words of life. And it's a complete picture, snapshot picture, of the gospel of Jesus Christ in just those two little verses of Scripture. Let me read them. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in Him. And deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might and mind and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not His power, then are ye sanctified in Christ, by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that you become holy and without spot. There was seven key things that I've chosen out of those two verses of Scripture that I would like to touch upon, that I feel that the author felt it very important to say in the last final words in the Book of Mormon. The first was the words perfected in Christ. To me, it sounds like something that as an individual, as I look at it, that is something that I have to do, or at least I have to be active in. I think as you look through the Scripture that there is something that we ourselves have to be aware of and be active in as we pursue after that goal of becoming holy and without spot. And the Lord has provided tools and the avenue to get to that point. In the book of the third book of Nephi, in the fifth chapter, in the words of Christ, he pretty much gives us a commandment there. And he gives us a pretty stiff goal. He says, old things, this is on page 638, old things are done away, and all things have become new. Therefore, I would that you should be perfect, even as I, or your Father who is in the heaven, is perfect. You know, that is a very stiff order. To me, it almost seems like it's something that's unaccomplishable, something that I couldn't attain. And yet, as I read through the Scriptures, I find it is attainable, not because of myself, but because of Christ. And that's why the words "in Christ" denotes being perfect. He knew, because we lived in the flesh, that without in Christ, we would never become perfect. So when we think about that word, and as the Lord said, be perfect, I would that you should be perfect even as I. Remember those two other words in Christ. Now Christ, when he was on the earth and being an example, those things that his Father taught him and asked him to do while he walked here on the earth, as he followed those things, he was being perfect. He had faith in his Father, and the things that he was being told were true. And he did the things that the Father asked him to do. In the book of Hebrews, Paul talks a lot about grace and perfection. And in some ways, you know, he takes it through logically, and sometimes it's difficult to follow. But in the 10th chapter, in the 14th verse, again, speaking of Christ, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. The reason why I chose this scripture verse is because it again identifies who's going to do the perfecting or by what power. And then also there's, and it slips it in there, them that are sanctified. And I want you to remember that, because down the road I'm going to cover sanctified, because that's in there. That's in the 30th verse. So by one person, Christ, we can become perfect. If we are sanctified. The word sanctified is to be made, to make holy. I guess a good example of that would be in Matthew in the 19th chapter. Again, you remember I told you earlier that I felt it's something that we had to be active in, pursuing. And here is just a good example of when a question was made of Jesus Christ, how this one individual would be perfect. The Lord answered him. In the 19th chapter, I was going to read just the 21st verse. If you remember the story, where a young man came up and asked him what he lacked. And the words of Christ said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. But then in the 22nd verse, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So we can see that it requires us to make decisions. And in those decisions, with Christ, we can become perfect. If those decisions are those things that would draw us closer to Christ and God. So then, in conversely, we can make decisions that would bring us away from Christ and maybe not be perfect. The goal, again, remember, being holy and without spot. The next logical step in which the brother made here in these words, he said, and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. Now that last verse of Scripture, Matthew, the Lord identified a problem within that young man's life. And the Lord was asking him to deny himself. And I would think probably in our human state, at least I feel it is, it's really difficult to deny ourselves. You know, it's really difficult. This body and flesh and the soul is such that it doesn't want to be denied. And yet we find the words of Christ, being the words of his Father, we're asked to deny ourselves of things. They could be physical things or spiritual things that would be unto our spiritual destruction. The words that come to my mind that I try to remember, though I feel at times when I need to go back and reread them, where I find myself not denying myself, I find in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, in the 9th chapter. It is a continual struggle, I think, within the flesh for all of us. Paul recognized it, and he recognized it to the point where he wanted to say something about it. Here in the 27th verse, he says, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." He knew the importance of keeping the body under subjection. And in that would be denying yourself of things that wasn't necessary within your life to be a good example, or to stay away from those things that he was told that was not of the Lord, that could be for his destruction. I think we find in our lives today, and I feel for the young people, because they have a lot to offer, or the world has a lot to offer to them. A lot of things. And I think I'm finding it's more and more increasingly hard for our young people to turn away from those things. They're even taught that they shouldn't necessarily have to deny themselves of the things that this world is offering us. That is not wrong. But in the large scheme of things, we know as we look at it, it is destructive in nature. And it's going to be more difficult for them. And it's going to be hard for us to try to tell them otherwise, when all their friends and everybody else is indulging in it. Imagine a good example would be, I read in the papers, I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, our president-elect. Now, this is the man that is going to have the say for our country. And right there on the front page, he lived with his wife, before he got married. You know, it's right there in black and white. He doesn't deny it. And yet, what kind of a foundation are we setting for our children? That is a norm. That is normal, acceptable. Our president, it's all right. It would be different, I imagine, if he condemned it. I feel it would be different. But it's not condemned. And we have to teach our children that this is not right, and that they have to deny themselves of that kind of activity, that it leads to destruction spiritually. That's just an example. In Don's day, if that would have been the case, that man would not have been elected. He wouldn't even been considered in some instances, if that was a blatant thing that he did. Well, look at Gary Hart. Even in our day, he was having an affair, you know. But in a short period of time, that changes. Denying yourself, the body really has a hard time doing that. The next scripture verse would be found in Alma in the 19th chapter. It's another word for deny. And the word here would be cross. The 13th verse. says, Now, my son, I would that you should repent and forsake your sins and go no more after the lusts of your eyes, but cross yourself in all these things. And then the words, for except you do this, you can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Emphasizing that there will be times in your life that you have to do that. And more specifically, there was time for his particular son to do that. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, as he was with them here in the American continent after his resurrection, in the 5th chapter, 3rd book of Nephi, in the 78th verse, where he says, Behold, I give a commandment, that ye suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that ye should deny yourself of these things, wherein ye will take up your cross, than that ye should be cast into hell. That's why it's so important for us to teach our children when they're young, to make it so that it wouldn't be as much of a temptation for them, so that when they get older, they can make wise decisions and have good examples before them. The next thing here, in we find, and love God with all your might and mind and strength. As you know, that was one of the commandments given to the house of Israel back in Deuteronomy. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And in Matthew, you find that when the Lord was asked what was the greatest commandment, those words were quoted to him. But I think it goes even deeper than that. I find when I love someone, there's a lot of feelings within my heart and mind. My attitude towards the individual, what I want to do for that individual, how I conduct myself in front of that individual. Makes a big difference. Sometimes, you know, I know it happens within our lives. We forget that the Lord is with us all the time. He sees us all the time. And in that forgetfulness, we may do things that would not be pleasing to God. I think probably one of the best things to do is to be mindful that He is with us every minute of the day. And to be able to express our love to Him would be to follow after His words. In the Book of Mormon, in the 2nd chapter, again, you know, these things are things that we have to be actively engaged in. In the 2nd book of Nephi, in the 13th chapter, in the 29th verse, Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. And as you read in 1 John and that, you find that if you say you love God and you hate man, then you don't love God. It's something that isn't a truism. Because if you love God, it would be a natural thing to love mankind and not to desire to hurt or cause physical harm to individuals or hurt them mentally or spiritually or anything else. Your natural desire, if you truly loved God, would be not to do that. And yet, as you know, within our own tendencies, we have within ourselves, with our tongue, as spoken of by Paul, it's a pretty unwilling thing. But to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. The next point here in these two verses of Scripture has to do with something that comes from the Father by way of Christ. And it's something that's kind of, it is. It's very misunderstood in the secular movement of religious beliefs. But I feel that most who are in the Church of Christ have a pretty good understanding of what this is and how it is applied, I hope. And that is, in this last one, it says, "Then is grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God." That's a very plain and direct statement. Grace, a free gift, a favor. Another word would be mercy. And it comes freely, but it came with a price. It came by the blood of Jesus Christ. And without that blood, there was no grace. And without fulfilling the word of God that Christ did, there would have been no grace. Christ was sanctified or made holy because he followed the word of God. And by following the word of God, we received grace. And that avenue is the same for us. For without following the word of God, we cannot receive grace because we would not have been sanctified. Think about it. Yes, it is a free gift. But again, it's an active thing forth in us. A choice, as the Book of Mormon says, we are free to choose. One of the instruments, or the main instrument, in helping us to obtain this grace, we find in the Book of Ephesians. Go the right direction here. Ephesians in the 2nd chapter in the 8th verse. "For by grace are ye saved," and he clarifies that, "through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. But yet we know that faith is one of the prime reasons, or is the prime reason, for grace to be active within our lives. But it's dead, being alone without works." And basically, if we can put it in the words of the Book of Mormon, without making a choice to follow after God. In the second book of Nephi, in the 7th chapter, verses 42... here we find in another word. I'm going to bump up to probably about the 40th verse, because we see another word here in the 41st verse that goes along with denying or cross yourself. Another positive word would be reconcile. "Therefore, cheer up your hearts and remember that ye are free to act for yourselves, to choose the way of everlasting death or the way of eternal life. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, reconcile yourselves to the will of God, and not to the will of the devil and the flesh." Just another way of saying denying yourself of all ungodliness. "And remember, after you are reconciled unto God, and it is only in and through the grace of God that you are saved, wherefore may God raise you from death, and by the power of the resurrection also from everlasting death, by the power of the atonement." a beautiful gift, activated by faith and our free will choice to follow after the Word of God. The next part in here, in these verses of Scripture, get back over here. I should have put something in there. There we go. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God. I'm going to stop there. Again, being sanctified in Christ is to be made holy. In the book of John, in the 17th chapter, is to me the words of Christ. It identifies how one can be sanctified. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, and that's Christ speaking, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Now, if we, through the truth, can be sanctified, then we have to make the logical conclusion that Christ was sanctified by following after the words of truth, or his Father's words. So that rod of iron, whatever you want to call it, the words that we're being given, the words of God, is the means by which we can be sanctified or to be made holy by following after those things. And how that happens is through our faith, not denying the power, believing and loving him enough to try, and then I'll finish those verses of Scripture, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins. So all those things being tied together, if applied properly, will sanctify us, to make us holy. The next one, the remission of sins. If you remember the sequence in Matthew, where you must have faith or belief in Christ and following after the Word of God, and then when you are baptized, that you're able to receive the remission of sin. A sequence there. In Matthew, in the 26th chapter, a very important thing that identifies how that sin is forgiven. In the 28th verse, "For this is my blood, and of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Now, we know from the Scripture that without the shedding of blood, no sin can be forgiven. So it's through the shedding of Christ's blood that we have, or have the ability of having our sins forgiven us. In the words of Christ, in the Book of Mormon, in the third book of Nephi, in the 14th chapter. It's that one chapter all by itself back there. A real short one. In the third verse. "And come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may receive a remission of your sins, and be filled with the Holy Ghost, that ye may be numbered with my people who are the house of Israel." Or, in other words, being holy without spot. And that leads us to the last one. through the shedding of the through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, under the remission of your sins, that you become holy and without spot, the ultimate goal for us all. I found a good parallel in the scripture. Well, at least I feel it was good, and I hope it is for you. It's in Ephesians in the 5th chapter. Here where Paul was writing, and he was speaking about wives and husbands and their duties and responsibilities. But I found a parallel there that I'd like to bring to your attention tonight. I think it would depict the motivation or the reasons why we would want to be, why the Lord would have us to be without spot, holy and acceptable before His Father. Start with the 25th verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. And I know it's very difficult. It is for me to fully comprehend the love that Christ has for me, that He might sanctify, to make holy, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And I feel it is the goal of the Lord Jesus Christ to present you and I, every one of us who has freely chosen to follow after God and His Word, to be presented by Christ to His Father, holy and without spot. Remember the words where He was speaking in John? By the words of Christ, He says, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in my name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, the scripture might be fulfilled." It was very important to Christ. And it is important to Christ that we will be made, receive the grace of God, and we'll be sanctified and be holy and without spot, that we might be presented to our Heavenly Father. In the words of Christ, in the third book of Nephi, in the 12th chapter, would support those thoughts that I just said. The 33rd verse in the 12th chapter, the third book of Nephi. "Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day." I feel it is His goal for us. I'm going to read those last two verses of Scripture one more time. Remember the words that I was able to bring out, and I hope and pray that they will sink within your heart, that you can use them, that you'll be mindful of them on a daily basis. "Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and to love God with all your might and mind and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfect in Christ, and deny not His power, then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is in the covenant of the Father, under the remission of your sins, that you become holy and without spot. And now I bid unto you all farewell. I soon go to the rest in the paradise of God, until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumph through the air, to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both the quick and the dead. Amen. I hope and pray that I have brought something to you tonight. May God bless you.
Well, thank you, Brother McCann, for that inspirational message. We will close our service this evening with the use of hymn number 359. While you're finding your places, I'll read the announcement. A Crown for the Righteous, 359. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are indeed thankful for this day and for the message that we have received. Father, we do indeed pray that we would be able to draw ourselves nearer to Thee and become without spot and blemish before Thee, Father. Looking upon Your Son as the example and leading the way before us, Father. And so we do ask that You would work within each of our lives to accomplish that goal, Father. And so, Father, as we come to the close of this day and this last service, we do pray that You would go with each of us and watch over us throughout this week, keeping us safe from harm or danger, continuing to guide and direct us in each of our paths. Praying, Father, that You would continue to be with those who know stand in need of our prayers. Praying, Father, that You might be with our sister Betty and her needs, that Your blessings be poured out upon her and the doctors and physicians that would attend to her. Praying, Father, that You would always be with us, guiding and directing us, granting us wisdom and discernment that we need, strengthening us in our weaknesses, And for these things we do give thanks for, we do ask and pray for in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.